Matt Coyle is running for Wilmington City Council out of 10 different members running for 3 open seats. Thanks so much for joining us, Mac.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
So first, you want to start by telling me, why are you running and what qualifies you to run?
Well, I'm running specifically to highlight the lack of reaction and response to the industrial poisoning by DuPont of our entire region. And I've been gathering information and became embroiled in a local fiasco with the CFPUA. And I could get no response from the CFPUA board or from any other, elected official. And I, this was a very serious allegations I was making. And when I realized I was not getting any response, I decided I needed to be the voice on the city council to speak for people that are, have the same sentiments and are facing the same difficulties from the industrial poisoning and want to see a real reaction and them to stop poisoning the river. So, and I'm qualified to run for city council. I've lived in Wilmington for 11 years. I'm a resident of the city and a citizen of the state of North Carolina. And I want to bring, an ecological as well as an economic viewpoint to city council as well. And that's what, to me, that's what would define smart growth is when we consider both ecology and the economy. And in some ways, they become synonymous. So those are the main things. I'm also running to highlight the deception about cannabis in our country and calling for an end of cannabis prohibition. So specifically how we would achieve, some of the things that I've presented just now, I believe the city should open a department or a city commission called the Office of Industrial Poisoning to assist local activists and community members to share information with other communities as well. In my research, I found out that the other communities that had already fought with DuPont and won, they were reaching out to us, and there was we were not getting any kind of collaboration from our local, representatives here. And there's a lot of information out there. There's people that have fought this company before and won, and they were reaching out to help us. We need to provide the center of excellence in responding to these kinds of industrial poisonings so that we can receive that help, but also that we can share that help with not just people here in our community, but around our region, which is, the entire region has been impacted, our entire watershed. And that's happened in many other places where this company has been allowed to run roughshod over the citizens and really harm our people, harm people and kill them with these chemicals. These are deadly chemicals. And so those are the things that I really want to highlight. Likewise, we need to have a real honest appraisal of the history of cannabis, not just in our country or the state of North Carolina, but in the Cape Fear region. Cannabis was a vital part of the maritime industry here. We often hear about historical Wilmington and the maritime industry and pitch and turpentine and timber, but they were using that pitch and turpentine to treat hemp cordage as caulking for the boats, for the ropes, for the sails. Cannabis has a long history of being grown in North Carolina. Even before North Carolina was a state in the colony, it was a major agricultural product. And that is why it was made illegal. It has nothing to do with people using it recreationally. It's been made illegal for industrial to eliminate industrial agricultural producerism, which would tie the economy directly to people who have, direct control over their own destinies, growing their own products. And likewise, the city should have a office of cannabis truth and reconciliation, because this wasn't just an elimination of industrial products. It was also used, first they made it illegal using, they made the prohibition, enacted the prohibition using very racist tropes. And so it has cannabis suppression has a long history of both being played to, using racist tropes and ideologies, but it likewise was reversed after the cannabis was prohibited. They used that to attack communities here in our country, and that's what has led directly to the mass incarceration. The war on drugs was in support of the prohibition of cannabis. not the other way around. And so the city should recognize this. This is about to become a trillion-dollar worldwide industry. Cannabis is coming back. It's legal in 29 states now in the United States, and it's going to be an enormous part of our economy. We should likewise be the center of excellence in cannabis production, innovation, and really the exporter of cannabis to the world from the United States and from North Carolina farmers.
Just to move on to the next
sure,
question.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to talk about an Encore article, you know, you were interviewed for.
Sure.
Because you mentioned a lot of ideas there, and, you know, they're pretty big ideas. And some of these ideas included the formation of the two new city departments, as you mentioned, the Cannabis Historical Cannabis Research, Office of Industrial Poisoning. But you also mentioned the funding of a 21st century transportation juggernaut, which would be, in your words, the envy of the world. A city plan to self-produce all electricity used in Wilmington, city buildings, operations, and transportation. Converting city fleet of vehicles to all electric, installing solar panels on all city buildings. So, you know, these are a lot of, you know, really big ideas. So I'm sure a lot of people would just be wondering, you know, how would you plan to fund these projects?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because right now, for instance, when we talk about electricity consumption or power generation, including our, modes of transportation, we are using more expensive technologies and equipments now. So solar, just like cannabis, is here and it's never going away. Photovoltaic is less expensive to generate electricity than other sources. And we would be crazy to let people who are trying to tie us to these legacy investments to continue to make those investments. We should be planning for the future and reducing costs. So we're already spending this money on electricity. And what we would receive by putting by moving forward with a very comprehensive and progressive plan about what we intend to do for our power generation, because the county is going to be here and it uses electricity. The city is here, it's going to use electricity. The sunlight falls here on the city every day. We can have our own power generation here, and it's less expensive. So when we talk about how we're going to pay for it, we should really be saying, how can we not afford to make these investments now, right? What we're using now is not only expensive in terms of dollars, but it's also part and parcel of some of these other problems that we've touched on, right? And DuPont is a petrochemical company, right? And so when we talk about removing these kind of legacy investments and legacy, especially when we talk about fuel, when we talk about legacy investments in fuel, every day that we don't electrify the fleet is another day that we're investing in in gasoline and in diesel production. And those are the things that we should be moving away from. They have a direct impact on our health here, just like DuPont's manufacturing facility did. So too do the refineries and other legacy investments that we get tied to when we don't advocate for our own best interest. And this is in our best interest. If we generate our own electricity, it'll be cheaper, it'll be more abundant, it'll be more resilient. We would have built-in advantages that we simply could not even, attach to the types of systems that we're using now. And in terms of the light rail system that I mentioned, you know, I think it should be specifically tied to the DuPont's poisoning of our region. We're talking about enormous amounts of money that they made poisoning everybody here in the city of Wilmington, right? When they run that machine up there, this is what I've come to understand. When they run the machine and they can run it for about 180 days before they have to shut it down and clean it all out again, they make $80 million every 24 hours that they're running the machine. So if you can do the math. They run it for 180 days. They make $80 million a day. Right. And people are saying we can't afford this and we can't afford that. This company should be held accountable, and we should use that money to build the transportation system that I mentioned.
But how would we obtain that money?
We have to confront DuPont and we have to shut them down and seize their assets.
But how would the city be involved in that? You know,
well, what we have to remember is that we live here too. We should be advocating for what we want, and the city can be the leader and provide the leadership. If we choose the leaders that have a vision for a better future and a stronger community, And so, but I want to back up with you. In that article or in that interview, right, mm-hmm. we cannot rely on North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality. We have to go and confront them as well, all the way up to the governor, right? They put a $13 million settlement with, on this and put some water filters for about 80 or 90 small communities around the Fayetteville plant, but that left out the rest of the state, right? They have engaged in a campaign of doubt, right? And I don't know if you're familiar with this book and work called The Merchants of Doubt, mm-hmm. but it essentially describes a methodology and a product that gets delivered to obfuscate. Especially about scientific information that describes and explains the impacts that we have. And this is well documented in the case of asbestos with DuPont, and well documented in the case of tobacco, well documented in the case of, it goes down the line, seatbelts or lead paint. And that's what's happened here, right? The information is clear and obvious. The stuff was in the water. The CFPUA announced they had discovered the water was tainted. And the state essentially has done nothing, right? They've just allowed them to continue to operate the plant. To add insult to injury, we're now hiring a company that's affiliated with DuPont to remediate the granulated activated carbon. So the entire approach to this problem needs to be changed, in my opinion, and that's what I want to provide for the city. And that's the same vision that I want to see the city have for the growth of our region and of our state. It should be based on ecology as well as economy.
Okay. All right. Well, this is Matt Coyle. He's running for Wilmington City Council. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.